You have glasses today. Did you always have glasses? I don't
Yeah.
remember now.
I barely ever wear them, but my eyes were feeling weird this morning, so.
Do you wear contacts or you just like don't need them that much?
Oh no, I wear contacts. My eyes are super bad.
Yeah. I keep like going back and forth between glasses and contacts, and I hate both of them.
Yeah. I don't mind contacts very much, but I think you've seen how long my nails get. So I'm like
Yes.
forever like
Oh God.
pinching. Yeah.
I wouldn't put that near my eyeball.
I probably shouldn't.
Is this a Tiger King podcast now? Or are we talking about Tiger King?
It Holy shit. Tiger King.
Both watched Tiger King this week.
It's amazing how like polarizing Tiger King is. I feel like people either like love it or like were like, what the fuck did I just watch? I hate that.
Right, and like, why is everyone watching this and talking about it? Like, it's like a normal thing for everyone to be watching at the same
Right.
time.
That show made me so weirdly happy. Like, it was just, I don't know. They're all horrible people. I mean, they're awful. But,
Yeah.
you know.
I feel like part of it, which I didn't even like conceptualize why I was watching it, but I was just thinking last night when we were talking about like that there's like a, you know, a US representative who wants Trump to be tried at The Hague, and I was like, "You know what? I think actually like part of the reason that Tiger King is so satisfying is because it's like a Trump fantasy of like an obviously insane like abusive man somehow managing to like wrap all of these people around his little finger and then like them all abandoning him the moment it goes south and he ends up in jail. Like that feels good to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think it's even that for me. I don't know what it is. I just maybe just the fact that they're all so crazy and awful gives me like hope for the rest of us. Like most people probably are not that awful, so it's okay.
I think that's part of it too. I found it like weirdly inspiring. Just like, I mean, okay, obviously, like he went to jail in the end, but there's still like such a wide range of like levels and types of crazy that you can be and still like live your life.
Yeah, and apparently get, what was it, something like 19% of the votes for governor? It's not bad.
Yeah, did pretty well.
You can be crazy as shit and still do pretty well in politics.
Can you be sane, though, is the question.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And then you wrote a crossover,
I
which is
think we
amazing.
both posted on Twitter at like exactly the same time, like Tiger King AU.
I like seriously keep rereading bits of that Tiger King fic you did. Like, it's a little embarrassing how much I love it. It's so good.
But you said you wanted the opposite, right? Because in my version, Will is Joe and Hannibal is Carol, but I think you were arguing in favor of the opposite
I did. I
configuration, so
really.
I think you need to write that.
I don't know. Now I'm pretty convinced that your way is like the right way to do this.
I do, okay, like the thing about that fic that I like almost felt a little bad about was that it did kind of like paint. You know, the way I like set up the characters, like it did kind of paint Joe as like, oh, poor Will Graham, he's only doing this because he's crazy and we know he has encephalitis. And then, like, I don't actually know that I'm as sympathetic to him as like the fic would make it seem. And then, like, my fic, you know, obviously mapping Carol onto Hannibal Lecter makes her seem a lot more evil than I think she actually is, in that, like, the show portrayed her big cat rescue thing as being like exactly the same in like every particular as like a roadside zoo, but like Yeah. Okay, in the real world, like, having an accredited animal sanctuary is not the same thing as having a roadside zoo. Those are different things. She's right. not really, like, she's not Joe and she's not Dog Antle. Maybe she killed her husband, but he seems like he was an asshole, so whatever. Anyway, sorry to anyone who hasn't watched Tiger King.
Right. I feel like if you've been on the internet, you generally know, like, I don't know, the plot of what happens in Tiger King. Because everyone's right. been screaming about it, so.
I mean, even, like, I think I saw, like, the city of Minneapolis or something tweeted yeah. the, like, a graphic that was, like, you know, social distancing, keep the length of an adult tiger in between you and other people. And it had this little graphic of, like, Joe and Carol with a tiger in between them, which is kind of impressive that, like, a municipality where, like, someone is being paid to do these tweets is like, yes, everyone in my city will understand what this means.
Right, of course. Oh, God, there was this meme. So I follow this pastor on Twitter named Laura Groen, who's, like, a pastor in Baltimore, and I've been following her. She's, like, the only source of, like, anything about the coronavirus that I follow, because it's, I don't know. It's, like, uplifting yeah. in that way without being really fucking obnoxious, where someone's like, no, really, it's not that bad. It's like, no, it is this bad, but, you know, we're...
You, too, can write King Lear right now.
Right. It's like, no, it's really that bad, but we can do community building stuff and try to watch out for each other, which is, like, the kind of positivity I can deal with.
Yeah.
But she posted this really funny tweet one day that was like, clergy on the first week of shelter in place, like, okay, we can do it, community building efforts, what are you all doing for your congregations? And then clergy on the second week of shelter in place, like, fuck it, Tiger King memes at 2 a.m.
Which is kind of like, I think because we were having that discussion about the Fenexis forum, which maybe we should talk about too, like, but just considering the, like, ideological implications of, like, the question of if you, you know, write about something or enjoy it in fiction, that means you endorse it in reality. Like, okay, that means that the city of Minneapolis endorses murder for honor.
Or, like, this sweet, like, clergywoman in Baltimore is like, yeah, animal abuse and murder and sex cults.
Right. Because it is one of those situations that is like, well, yeah, like, everything here is morally wrong. We can, like, acknowledge that in the space of an instant. And then we can still, like, there are still other things to know and other things to talk about.
Right.
And this is something that actually happened in real life, even. So, I mean,
right.
apparently.
Which is amazing that they're... I was... Okay, wait, I was, like, telling Theo, like, I kind of love seeing furries on Twitter. Like, just popping up on my timeline. I guess, like, my... whatever people I follow has, like, some intersection with furries, and I always love, like, seeing them pop up on my timeline, because I love, like, I don't know, seeing people engage in fanish activities for stuff I don't understand or have any connection to. Like, it just makes me happy. Like, right. Oh, look at these people, like, enjoying this thing a lot. And I got that same feeling watching, like, Tiger King. It really felt like watching, like, the big cat fandom with all its infighting and, like, crazy bullshit. And it's like, wow, I don't care about big cats at all, but these people really do.
Yeah. I think it's also, like, to, you know, get more serious for a minute, I think it's, like, a good illustration of, I was thinking about this, I think, specifically because of the Fenexis thing, which, for people who aren't following this is, like, a new... upcoming social media platform that is now, like, taking applications for a forum, like, ahead of their beta. But I was reading their, like, philosophy, and, like, they haven't written terms of service yet, but, like, basically they have a bunch of stuff which, like, it's very clear that, like, this is kind of coming out of the quote-unquote, like, anti community, which is cool. I just was thinking about stuff, like, in their philosophy post, they say, like, an anti-bullying stance will be written into the terms of use and will be actively promoted by the administrators and staff. Anyone seeking to bring the cruelty and toxicity that festers on other platforms to Phinexis will not be tolerated. Which, like, okay, theoretically, great. Obviously, I think we can all agree that the things that we refer to with words such as bullying and toxicity are bad things that you generally don't want. But the problem here is that, like, having seen lots of fandom wank go by, like, look up any great fandom wank of the past and try to figure out who is at fault, who is bullying whom, who has created the toxicity, as, like, as a third party coming into these, like, massive wanks, like, it's impossible. And it's not just that, like, you can't figure out whose fault it is. It's that, like in Tiger King, was Joe bullying Jeff? Was Jeff bullying Joe? Like, it's not even that the answer is both or neither. It's that, like, these words are not adequate to describe the kinds of massive wanks that inevitably come up when you have any sort of fan platform with wide adoption. So I feel like this show, like, in a, like, really legitimate way is, like, a good way of demonstrating that, like, that there are things that are objectively bad, but there are also situations where, like, teasing out whose fault it is not just impossible. It's like you're asking the wrong question in the first place.
Yeah.
Anyway. That said, I have applied for the Phinexis. They have, like, this whole application thing where they want to, like, make sure there are no trolls on their forum, so you have to, like, apply for the forum and include your social media handles. So, I'm not, like, 100% on board with this, but I will try it out.
Well, there was that one question, right, that we were talking about on the application, because I did it too. Like, what was it? You had to answer yes or no for, like, do you think that enjoying or writing something in fiction means you endorse it in real life? It was, like, a yes or no question. Which, like, there's obviously a right answer to that.
Right. Yeah, and, like, in general, you know, like, I agree there's a right answer to that question, and I understand why that question is being asked. But just the fact of having kind of, like, an ideological test that you're supposed to pass
right.
to, like, be on a social media platform is, like, this seems like it's going in a direction where it's going to be extremely difficult to mod and to figure out how to interpret your terms of service and, you know,
right.
Yeah, to implement ideology on a larger scale.
Right, and I feel like I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek by saying there's a right answer. Like, there's obviously an answer that they're looking for. But at the same time, I feel kind of weird about it because it's like, yeah, on the one hand, like, I strongly believe that, like, all types of fiction should exist and people can, you know, whatever. And it's not that I don't think fiction affects reality. It's that I think it's a more nuanced question and answer than that. But it gets kind of weird for me because it's like, well, are we trying to keep people off platforms for having the wrong opinions, or is it actually bullying? Because I think those are two different things. Like, I think people are yeah. perfectly capable of believing things that I don't believe without being an asshole about it. Like, when you're yeah. harassing people, I think that's the problem, not, like, you have the wrong views about fiction.
Yeah. Which, like, for content, like, you posted an underage incest fic last night. We were like, this is where we're coming from on this. But yeah, right. I agree with you. It's like, I think there's an opinion that's wrong, but, like, should those people be barred from a social media platform? Like, that doesn't seem like a non-wanky way to start out the thing.
Right. Right, I don't really know what I'm arguing for here. Like, that people are allowed to think that I'm fucked up for posting underage incest and they just don't have to talk to me about it. Like, that's fine. Right. Just don't
They should definitely
bother
not
me.
Talk to you about it.
Yeah. Oh, and then I saw you said something about this con that didn't happen.
Oh, God.
Red Dragon Con got canceled and... Or postponed, excuse me.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, it seems like the postponed part is relevant because... And I don't know who this is. It seems to be, like, a Twitter account that has just been made to, like, disseminate this information.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was already, like, you know, like, we weren't ever gonna go to this thing for, like, many reasons. But also, like, just in general, it seems like there's been a lot of stuff with this con in the past of, like, canceling and then, like, canceling guests and, like, not being upfront about, like, what's going on and people losing their money and changing dates. So now, with, you know, obviously the con being postponed, this account called Bad Penny 2020 has posted these screenshots of, like, the guy who runs it. And, like, this is a for-profit business. This is his business. He runs a whole bunch of, like, sci-fi cons and similar events, I think.
Yeah.
Basically saying, he says, as the guests, flights, hotels, and venue are all paid for, at this point, every refund comes out of my pocket. Plus, with credit card charges, buying a ticket, refunding it, buying again, ends up costing me a fortune. I totally respect and understand that people cannot make or afford the new dates, but if they are refunding now and then want to buy again closer to the event, no thank you.
That's an interesting stance to take.
Especially as, like, you are running this is a business. This is your livelihood. This is right. Not, like, first of all, like, no, it's not coming out of your pocket. This is your business. When you set up a business, you're acknowledging that you might lose money. And, like, it sucks. Lots of businesses are losing money right now. But, like, you can't blame that shit on your customers.
Right. Yeah, that's just a really weird, like, I understand, like, yeah, that's probably, like, a big loss to eat. But this is literally a global pandemic that's hitting every single business really hard.
Yeah, like, I'm also a little skeptical even just about what he says in terms of, like, guests, flights, hotels, and venue are all paid for. Okay, well, the guests are rescheduling. They're planning on coming to the rescheduled event. Flights, I'm skeptical of, like, he seems to be saying that, like, every cent he's spent on, like, the guests' flights and such is lost. I'm skeptical that that is true, given that most airlines are refunding a lot of tickets or allowing tickets to be used towards future flights, which theoretically they still need those flights. And then, like, venues, like, often when you have a contract for stuff like, you know, a venue or a performance or whatever, there is a clause that literally says, like, in the event of a pandemic or act of God, a force majeure clause says that if one party can't deliver on this contract because of something like this, then this contract is void. Like, I'm just a little, I don't know, obviously I don't know what kind of contracts this guy has, but, like, this whole thing seems really bizarre and disingenuous. And then the thing of, like, if you want a refund now, I'm not gonna let you buy a ticket again in the future.
Right. Like, fuck you. I don't know what
keep
to...
keep a list of names of people that you just don't like because they asked for a refund.
Right. Which I'm skeptical of because, like, isn't the process kind of automated? Like, I really don't think that people are going to be unable to buy tickets in the future. I mean, if he actually does do that, that's just kind of weird in itself.
Yeah, it sounds like he's saying that, like, if you want a refund now, you have to contact him personally, and he personally will prevent you from buying a ticket again.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I also, you know, we're both fairly new to this fandom. Like, neither of us were around for the last con, but, you know, you hear things through the grapevine, and apparently he, like, lied about certain guests at a prior convention.
Yes, I did hear about that too.
So, like, he, I think, said that they canceled, but I think a few people did some, like, investigative stuff and found out that the guest was, like, never booked in the first place and, like, had no idea that they were supposedly going to be at this thing.
Yeah.
And then apparently he was, like, I don't know, blacklisting people who, like, talked about that on social media at all. So the whole thing sounds sketchy. He sounds like a super sketchy dude.
Yeah.
Which, like, and again, this is just hearsay. Like, I don't fucking know, but...
Yeah. It's just kind of too bad that, like, I assume because, you know, like, this is his business, he has the money and, like, ongoing capital to, like, book guests and stuff. Like, people who want to go to the kind of cons where there are, like, celebrity guests are gonna go to his thing, even though, like, everyone seems to not really like him or want to go to his thing.
Right. It's, like, the only thing that is this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I just saw some of the comments under that thing you posted. Someone just posted in all caps, "Sounds like you suck at business then, buddy."
Yeah.
Which, yes, that is what it sounds like.
I mean, there, like, lots of businesses are struggling around. Like, the fact that he's probably going to lose a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean that, like, he sucks at business, because that's happening to a lot of businesses right now. But, like, it does sound like he sucks. Or, like, doesn't understand, really.
Right. I mean, I'm skeptical about a business that, like, can't pay their overhead unless they have...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's weird if, like, the margins are so tight that he can't afford to pay the guests and stuff unless people come to the thing. It sounds like he was relying on the ticket prices. And that sounds...
Especially considering he does so many of these cons. Like, this isn't, like... It's not like this is a hobby where this is his only thing and the ticket prices just pay for it.
Right. Like, I would understand that. But anyway, that just...
Yeah.
Seems weird.
Yeah. I mean, for something like... I think Neffy posted, like, take all the money we were going to give to Red Dragon Con and give it to Fanimal Fest Toronto. Which, like, yes, probably not feasible. But, like, in the case of something like Fanimal Fest Toronto, like, that seems like that is the way a lot of these, like, smaller fan-run cons happen, is just, like... People say they're going to come, they pay for the thing, the money they give pays for the con to happen. But I don't think that's the kind of con that this is.
Right. So, yeah, that's... like, a whole rundown
of... dose of wank.
Yep. All the fandom news.
So, moving on to some more things that we heartily endorse in real life.
Yep. Cannibalism and murder.
Is that what I... Did I say that exact same phrase the last podcast? I don't actually know. I feel like I might have.
That's a good question. I don't remember.
But this starts with Will having Hannibal tied to a tree in his mind. Which I forgot until you wrote that in the notes, that, like, to think about the fact that, like, oh, this all takes place in Will's brain. So this entire monologue...
Right? Like, what a wild monologue in his own head.
Right, when you just really want your best enemy to, like, monologue at you about the nature of love.
Right. Also, that scene where Hannibal's, like, tied to a tree and getting, I don't know, his head cut off by a murder stag was a reference to a scene in the movie Hannibal, the one where he's younger.
Oh. Good to know.
Yeah.
Does that actually happen in the movie?
Yeah, there's a scene where, like, young Hannibal has... one of the soldiers who, I guess, killed his sister, like, tied to a tree and has, like, a horse strangle him, basically, by doing exactly that. So.
Good for him.
Fun reference.
No one can be fully aware of another human being unless we love them. Also, the tree has eyes in it.
I need to go back and look at that. I didn't see that.
It's hard to tell if they're, like... Because, you know, I don't... know what kind of tree it is, but sometimes, like, the bark, like, peels off in that, like, eye pattern, but it looked, like, more deliberate than that. I think they were deliberate eyes.
That's cool. I have to go check. I saw your note about how bad liver smells while it's cooking.
Oh, God. I just, like, the scene, it just starts out with the liver going in the pan, and, like, like, I tried, not tried, I did make, like, Janice's recipe for pate, and, like, I like liver pate, and it turned out well, but, like, the smell of, like, the actual liver in the pan was, like, the second worst food smell I have ever experienced. My poor, like, vegetarian partner was basically smoked out of the apartment. It was revolting. Oh, no. The first thing Jack says here is, like, that smells delicious. I'm just like, no, it doesn't. It smells awful.
Does it smell better once it's cooked? Like...
I mean, like, the recipe, and okay, this is something I found a little bit strange about Janice's recipe, considering the source is that it contained a shit ton of cream cheese. So, like, once it was all together, it smelled like something I wanted to eat. But, No, not really. It's, I mean, And, like, once I, like, smelled the finished product, it was like, yes, I can relate the, like, the strength of the initial smell to, like, this good smell, but it's, like, oh, it's too much. And then this is just, like, liver and egg, which, like, oh, no. That's so gross.
That sounds pretty gross. Okay, so now I have to ask, what's the first worst food smell? If this is the second.
Stinky tofu is probably the worst food smell I've ever smelled.
Was it, like, rotten or something? Like, why was it smelly?
No, it's like a... It's, okay, I don't know exactly what it is. But I remember I, like, went for a bicycle ride once, and I, like, went past, like, some sort of festival. Only, like, there was this smell that I, like, I literally, like, turned my bike around. I was like, I can't bike past this, like, festival in the park because, like, it smells too bad. I need to leave. And then I had to, like, go on Reddit and be like, what was that smell? And someone said it was, like, a food festival, and the smell was, it's, like, it's called stinky tofu, which Wikipedia says is a Chinese form of fermented tofu that has a strong odor, usually sold at night markets or roadside stands. And, like, I talked to some people who've eaten it and say that it, like, tastes better than it smells, which wouldn't be difficult, but, yeah, apparently it's, like, good. It's just, yeah, famous for being extremely stinky.
That's interesting. Have you ever smelled durian fruit?
Yes. I also have smelled durian fruit. I'm gonna rate the liver above that.
Oh, God. Because, like, once one of my roommates bought, like, a durian and was, we were like, oh, cool, let's try it. And so we're all in the kitchen because we all heard it smells really bad, like, waiting for her to crack it open. And she does, and we all immediately, like, run out of the house gagging because it was so bad. None of us ate it. Like, we're just like, nope.
I think my, I was like, I think I didn't eat it, but I, like, smelled it, like, on a, like, a street market or something when I was in India. But I think I have a colleague who, like, tried to bring one back in her luggage from, like, somewhere she'd gone, and I think it ended up being, like, because I think in certain places you're actually, like, not allowed to transport them.
Yeah, there's a shave ice place near my house that has, like, all these different flavors, and they make their own syrups, and one of the things they offer is durian syrup, and there's, like, a handwritten sign, really big, posted where everyone can see it, that says, like, if you order the durian syrup, you have to leave immediately as soon as you buy it. Like, you have to just vacate the premises.
That's appealing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not a fan of this omelet thing.
Fair.
So Jack is there and eating this. And right. He's talking about, like, how he's being disturbed by, like, doubting Will. And my first thought was, like, oh, wow, he's a really good actor. But then I was like, wait, no, I don't think he's, like, pretending on this count. I think he's genuinely disturbed by Will at this point.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I think so. Also, that line where he's talking about how he used to be afraid of losing his memory is really interesting to me. Like, I'm assuming there's dementia in his family. Because that's not something you usually, I mean, I've heard that from people, but it's usually from people with, like, that specific kind of illness in their family.
Hmm. Yeah. Or, like, I'm wondering if that could be, like, a job-related strange thing to him. Like, maybe if you had a job that, like, required that you hold a lot in your memory. Because, like, you'd think to some extent, like, doing that would require, like, bringing up details of, like, a lot of other similar things that have happened in the past. So, like, maybe that's part of it for him.
Yeah, maybe. Which, yeah. Okay. And then Hannibal seems to actually be Will's therapist now. Like,
yeah, he says, like, I can't tell you anything about Will because he's officially my patient now. And, like, we both had the same reaction to that.
Right, like, is Will paying him?
I'm, like, so curious if there's an actual... I, like, this whole thing is just, like, too classy and mysterious to involve, like, you know, Hannibal pulling out, like, an Interact machine at the end. You know? I actually don't even know if that's how you pay for medical services in the U.S. I have no idea, but...
I used to write a check to my therapists.
Yeah,
like, okay. Every 4 weeks or whatever.
I just, like, somehow can't imagine Will doing that.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think he has the money. I'm sure he does.
He just hands Hannibal, like, a dollar bill every 4 weeks to, like, I am technically your patient. You can't talk to Jack about me.
That's actually an interesting idea. I feel like that's more plausible, like, a ceremonial kind of payment, because they both want this to be, like, private.
I think so.
Okay.
I have a hard time seeing him, like, actually, like, legit paying Hannibal.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it could be interesting if he, like, actually does insist on paying him as, like, a weird power move.
Yeah, I could see that.
He says, let's hope your therapy works, which is, like, I feel like that's just such a weird thing to, like, how do you tell if someone's, like, if therapy works as, like, a third, but, like, what does that mean?
That is a super weird thing to say, but I feel like Jack has totally said stuff like that before.
Yeah.
Like, he has a really weird kind of binary opinion of therapy. Like,
yeah,
that it's making you less crazy, so it's working, or in Will's case, more useful to Jack.
Yeah. Right, I guess maybe working in this context would be that, like, Jack can stop doubting Will and sleep better at night. Also, I wrote down
James. I love this.
I have no idea how much wine is normal to drink. If I drank one of those glasses of wine, I would be drunk as shit. To be fair, they both probably weigh twice of me. But still, maybe I should have had some wine before watching this. At which point, I went and got some wine. Which is why my notes on this episode deteriorated.
No, I like these. I was actually thinking maybe we should both just watch these things drunk and take notes that way.
Like that maybe the Three Patch Podcast does drunk canon segments.
Oh my god, that sounds fun.
They like recap a Sherlock Holmes story super drunk. And then I think Finnegan does like, I only listened to a few of them, but they had like amazing sound effects.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I agree. I like one of those glasses of wine would like fuck me up.
I mean, that would explain a lot about everything going on.
Everyone's just drunk all the time.
It's like a reality show. I briefly did some like secretarial work for a woman who was like a producer of reality shows, and basically my impression was like, oh, they just give like there's just always alcohol on set for this stuff. That's why all this shit happens.
That makes a lot of sense. I remember, like, when I was younger, I used to work for... I'm trying to figure out if this was the first chef I worked for. It might have been. This, like, chef who mentored me. And for some reason, one day, he invited me and a few other people over to his house for, like, I don't know, a barbecue food he cooked for all of us. Okay. And there was, like, this thing. It was, like, wine in this decanter, but it had, like, a really thin spout, and you were supposed to pour it into your mouth.
Okay. For people who have always dreamed of shouting, chug, 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 at someone while they drink wine.
Apparently, he was from Spain, and he said it's a thing there that, like... I don't know if this is true. It was like a glass decanter and you like hold it above your mouth and pour, and you're like supposed to slowly raise your arm up so there's like this thin stream of wine pouring into your mouth. Anyway, we all got really, really fucking drunk because you don't actually know how much you're drinking when you're doing that.
Right. Is it like a game of skill? Like, how far can you get it above your head without the wine, like, splashing all over your face?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. Okay. I think I was, like, 19 at the time. So, I'm not, like, and probably so were my friends. So, like, none of us are, like, of legal drinking age. And I remember calling...
Oh, right. That's not legal.
But, like, OK, okay, let me tell you, like, working in kitchens as, like, someone who was not of legal drinking age, all of my bosses, like, right. gave me alcohol at some point. But I remember, like, calling, I think someone I was dating at the time, and I was super drunk, and they're like, are you okay? It's, like, 5 in the afternoon. What are you doing? I was like, oh, I was at my boss's house, and I got super wasted. And they're like, that sounds like a really bad idea. I was like, no, it was okay. He wanted us all to get drunk.
It was just that makes it better.
Right. It was like super skeeved out by this. But it wasn't creepy at all. Like, which I know sounds like it was actually just really like fun and friendly and not weird.
Good.
Wow, that had nothing to do with anything. Anyway.
Nothing to do with anything. The next thing I wrote down, apparently having drunk quite a bit of wine between the previous scene and this one, was my mover also died at a truck stop. What if my mover died at this exact truck stop? It was somewhere outside of Toronto.
Wait, what do you just mean like, by not funny. Mover? Like,
We hired a moving company to move our stuff across the country, and it didn't arrive for a long time, and so like a week after it was supposed to be here, I called the moving company and they were like, yep, the guy who came to your house drove to a truck stop outside Toronto the next day and then he died at the truck stop.
Oh shit.
So yeah, it's not actually funny, but or entertaining in any way, but that is what happened.
Wow.
It's like it was like a really weird phone call to be like, oh, that's really awful and upsetting, but also what happened to my belongings?
Right, of course.
Like, it matters more that a man is dead, but also I need my chairs.
Right.
Anyway, so this guy gets in his truck.
Also, I found that murder super weird. Like, this whole murder of the week is very bizarre in a way that I kind of like can't find menacing or threatening at all because it's so fucking weird.
Yeah, especially this one. Like, he's okay, so he like thinks he's an animal or is trying to be an animal. Like, why did he, what kind of animal is he that like leaps on top of this guy's truck and then, like lures him out? Like, what are you being here, dude?
I feel like this episode was, like, leaning really hard into, like, the horror element because that was, like, total, like, horror movie stuff, you know? Like, guy gets
totally
yanked up onto the roof by some unseen monster. Which, by the way, I refuse to believe that Randall Tier could do that without sliding off the truck. Like,
I didn't, inspect the shape of the cab enough to say.
But, like, he's not a very big guy. I have a hard time seeing him just straight up yank a large trucker, like, fully off his feet and onto the roof of the car. Like, he must have been lying down in order to reach. Like,
I mean, everything about, like, the physiology of, like, Randall Tier's existence doesn't make a ton of sense.
Right. Maybe he really is, an animal in human skin. I don't know. I mean, that's why he can run so fast on all fours.
That, too. That was the other thing that I was like, okay, I used to be involved with this, like, really weird pseudo CrossFit gym that kind of, like, went ideologically a lot away from that. And then, like, there was a bunch of drama and now it's bust. But anyway, like, they did, like, lots of animal movement, and like there were some people there who were really good at running on all fours, but like not like this. It's still like someone running on all fours is not going to outpace someone running on 2 feet like they've been practicing their whole lives.
Right. And then we get Hannibal giving like really healthy, helpful life advice.
Yeah, he has a good therapist episode this episode. Will asks if he regrets anything. And he says, with every choice lies the possibility of regret. However, if I choose not to do something, it's usually for a good reason. I like that.
Yeah. Also, a life without regret would be no life at all.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, wow, I like that too.
Right, because that would kind of imply you haven't, like, made any choices that had consequences in your life.
Right, or, like, taken any risks.
Hashtag no regrets. And then he says, you must adapt your behavior to avoid feeling the same way again, Will. Which I'm like, oh shit, like, did he stop him from killing this social worker just to, like, arrange this particular kind of regret in Will's mind? Or is that, like, giving him way too much credit? I don't really know.
I don't think so. I don't know. I feel like maybe he actually thought that Will would regret killing him. Like, I want to read that as him trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
Because even in their conversation, it seems like he's, like, guiding the conversation in a way that assumes that Will's regrets are trying to kill this dude instead of...
That's true.
Failing to kill this guy.
Yeah. But I kind of like that, then, that, like, Will's regrets are like, oh, they went farther than... Will went farther than Hamill thought he was going to. Your unhelpful comment about Margot being extremely beautiful, I also, like, was about to write that down and then was like, no, there's nothing really to talk about there. I won't bother writing that down. But yes, she's extremely attractive.
I always, like, every time, like, Alana and Margot come on screen, I'm just like, wow, they're so pretty. And I'm just like, why? Don't write that. Like, that's not helpful.
I find Alana is just, like, really intentionally, like, innocent looking for a lot of the time in the first two seasons, which somehow, like, makes me like her aesthetics less.
That's fair.
Whereas Margot is like, we'll fuck you up from the beginning.
Oh, totally. I think I'm, like, just constantly, like, Alana's eyes are super blue.
But she catches on to this whole, like, everything so fast.
Right. She's so smart.
Yeah. And she says, my brother is less human. And Hannibal says, and you are less human for it. Which I love that this is, like, kind of the same sentiment as why Will didn't want Peter to kill a social worker. Because it's like... It's not that the social worker wasn't the worst or didn't deserve death. It's that, like, Peter was too good for that.
Yeah. And
kind of just this acknowledgement that, like, dehumanizing other people makes you less human, which is interesting, like, implications for, like, okay, how does he feel about himself then?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be apart from humanity and don't want to be, you know, included in with the rest of it, then dehumanizing other people would be the way to do that, I guess.
Right. I was also wondering if this is, like, a statement about trauma, which if it is, it's actually pretty dark. Just, I don't know, was she saying my brother is less human? Like, is she talking about the way he, like, treated her when they were younger?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe kind of, like, what you said when we were talking about, like, that fic I wrote based on, like, the idea of someone dying and then the response of someone they wronged being that it's not enough. Mm. It's, like, that's kind of, like, the darkest timeline for you personally in that it's, like, well, then nothing will ever be enough and that's now your problem because they're dead.
Right.
It's, like, your feelings about them are always your problem.
Right. Or even, like... Which, for the record, this isn't actually something that I believe, but, like, the idea that certain trauma responses that, like, you know, I mean, trauma responses do affect your development and shape who you are as a person. Like, if that, like, makes you less human than you otherwise would have been, which might be something Hannibal believes, considering his whole, you know, nothing happened to me, I happened thing, like, rejecting the influence of trauma on his life.
Yeah. Or that, like, if you accept the influence of trauma on your life, then all that does is just, like, allow you to set yourself apart. If that's a thing you want to do, I guess.
And then it's the hat.
It's the hat scene! Everyone makes fun of Hannibal's hat in this scene, and it's so unfair because I have the exact same hat.
Yeah, I actually have a note that his hat is extremely silly. However, I have the same hat in my closet, and mine has an elephant pin on it. So my hat is infinitely sillier.
Okay, but the other thing about this hat is that it wasn't even a costume. It was that Maz was cold, and a crew member lent him his hat. So this is, like, really? A real person's hat that he just wore to work. I think, yeah.
I love that. That's so great. It's an extremely bizarre hat for Hannibal to be wearing, which means it's the perfect hat for him.
Right, exactly. Also, Jack is finally wearing earmuffs along with his completely nonsensical hat.
Okay, this is a stupid question. Are earmuffs a real thing that actual people wear? Like, that's like a thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Do your ears
people wear earmuffs?
Do ears get especially cold or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially if it's like windy, or like if it's like not. Yeah, I feel like if it's like not cold enough that you actually want to wear a hat because it's like itchy or whatever, you want to wear something that covers just your ears. I think that's a real thing.
Okay.
But I liked it. That's a question you had to ask. Are earmuffs real, or do they only exist in the fever dream of Hannibal? And then we see Will and Peter. Is Peter at... Why do you think that he is at the hospital for the criminally insane?
Because he's wearing...
I mean, he did put the guy on a horse.
Because he's wearing the same jumpsuit that Will and Hannibal wear while they're there, with the yeah. B and then the numbers. I assume that's what you wear when you're there. I mean, he might be at a different... Maybe he's just in a normal mental hospital. But, like, the numbering system was the same.
That's true. The numbering system was very prisoner. But they were, like, in that meeting area that kind of looked like the same as where they'd met with Abigail?
Yeah. So I kind of feel like...
I don't know.
Oh, that's true. But Abigail wasn't in, like, any kind of uniform, though.
No. I don't know.
I don't know. I assumed that he was in some kind of, like, mental hospital or jail.
Yeah. I don't know if it's even, like, a place that we've seen before.
Yeah, like, it might not be.
I mean, I guess it's possible that, like, that place existed in the jail, but Will was just never allowed to go there. Because he's too psychotic for plants, I guess.
Maybe, or like too dangerous would be for that. I think it makes sense that if you were suspected of killing a whole bunch of people, you might be considered like too dangerous to go socialize.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe you get the plants for good behavior, and attempting to kill your psychiatrist is not good behavior.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know, because I'm skeptical of it being just a normal hospital, because it's not like you get put in jumpsuits at mental hospitals. Like,
right. Yeah. But also, he had a rat and it was so cute.
Kevin the rat.
Kevin the rat. Which, if it is like a jail kind of thing, I'm really impressed that he's managing to keep the rat.
Right. Well, he did say like that they would take it away from him if they saw it. So.
And then he says, with enough time, Peter says, with enough time, there's a great deal I could train you to do, Will.
Like, weird thing to say, Peter.
It is weird, but I also get how, like, if you're in that space of, like, equating humans and animals and seeing more, like, parallels and differences, then, like, yeah, if you can train your animals, then you can also train humans. Why not? Not in, like, a malicious way. And just, like, realistically.
And to be fair, like, when I was training dogs at the shelter a lot, I did find myself thinking along those lines when interacting with people. And it does work. Like, again, not in a malicious way, but you can totally, like, modify people's behavior by doing certain things.
Yeah.
Also, that's not actually true that man is the only creature that kills just to kill. Which...
Interesting.
Killing for sport might be a strong... way to phrase that. But surplus killing is totally a thing where animals will just kill all of the prey that they see, or just kill an excess of things that they don't actually eat.
Right. Aren't otters actually, like, really vicious and, like, kill seals all the time or something? Just for fun?
Not otters, I don't think.
Seals.
Otters are... I mean, there are animals that... Sorry, go ahead. Oh, killer whales kill seals for fun.
Okay. I thought I heard something really horrible about otters. That was just like, you know how otters are really cute? Here's what they also do.
I can see that. I feel like otters are too small to kill seals.
Yeah, maybe, it probably wasn't seals.
Maybe they terrorize something else. I've heard dolphins are really fucked up, too.
Okay, good. Well, then humans no longer need to feel so bad about being really fucked up.
We're in good company. Yeah, I know I've read things about how, like, killer whales will, like, kill baby seals for fun and then play with their dead bodies.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know that. Which I guess, like, okay, divorced from the context of, like, you know, like, maliciousness, like, where else, what if they just wanted a ball and that right. was the only object that they could find?
Right, because I think that's what it was. I think they were, like, tossing it back and forth.
Well, pig bladders were used as, like, sporting equipment before, like, plastic, so.
Right.
We're not exempt from that.
Did I ever? So, like, I think it was freshman year of high school, we had, like, this really intense PE program where we had to do a whole bunch of, like, running and swimming and stuff, but the first semester was just, like, anatomy lessons. Huh. Like, this is how your cardiovascular system works and stuff. And one of the things they did was, like, bring a cooler full of pig lungs and a pig heart and pass it around so we could see, like, this is more or less what your heart and lungs look like. But then they had us inflate the pig lungs using a bicycle pump.
Sweet. I never got to inflate pig lungs in school.
It was super fun, and in retrospect, I'm like, that's kind of weird.
I do, like, I had a picture somewhere of, like, you know, when we got, in, like, biology class, we got to, like, a dissection of a fetal pig, and yeah. We, like, cut it wrong. I don't know what we did, but my group somehow ended up with the pig, like, the intestine in a loop, like, it was, like, self-contained. And I think we probably just, like, didn't cut the membrane somewhere, but we were like, look, this pig would have died anyway because there's no entry or exit to its intestines. And I don't know where the picture went, but I had a picture of my friend, like, holding up this giant loop of pig intestines and, like, grinning like a maniac.
Nice.
And Will is sitting on Hannibal's desk now. It's the best thing on the planet. He says, when you sent a man to kill me, were you imagining killing me yourself, living vicariously through him as if your hands tightened the noose around my neck? Don't you wish?
I love just this, like, murder dirty talk right. for, like, an entire therapy session. It's great.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was wondering that. I saw your note about, did Hannibal just show up to barge into a conversation? Like, why is he here?
So Zeller and Bryce are talking about this cave bear thing. And they're like, a cave bear didn't do this, mostly because they're vegetarian, have been extinct for 28,000 years. And then suddenly Hannibal is just there and barges into the conversation. And everyone's like, yep, this is normal.
Right. So I guess he's still working for them, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, he has, like, a visitor tag.
Yeah.
He says, someone affected by this kind of species dysphoria typically has other conditions. And this whole episode, I'm like, oh no, don't tell, like, the Tumblr kin. Which is kind of a mean response. The whole thing seems like almost, like, not that I actually think that was, like, in mind. The fact right. that, like, there are people who, like, think that they're animals and behave accordingly in their workplaces, unfortunately.
What?
I just remember, like, it was, there was, like, some stuff that surfaced on Tumblr about someone, like, who thought that they were being discriminated against because they're a wolfkin and they acted like a wolf at their job at McDonald's. Oh, no. Like, no. Who knows if it was, maybe was a troll. Like, I don't know, but it's the kind of thing that seemed like it was popping up all the time.
Right.
On, like, certain areas of Tumblr for a while.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. You can get fired for being a wolf at your job. Be a wolf at home all you want. But... yeah. But I also just like this admission where he says, during our therapy, he reported a moment of clarity. He understood that he was an animal born in the body of a man, which is, like, kind of an unflattering thing to say about, like, his own, like, okay, so either Hannibal was actively encouraging that, or it happened despite his, like, best attempts to the contrary. But either way, this person actively became crazier during the therapy session.
Right, even the framing of that he said, oh, he understood this, not like he had this right. delusion. Like, no, this is yeah. this is what's up.
He's like proud of it. So then we go to the Royal Ontario Museum. I know those dinosaurs. And this whole scene is so, like, I love if this were like a scene, like, you know, if a mentor said this stuff to me, I would be so happy and proud.
Yeah.
And, like, Randall, he says, I was crying, I was dreading telling you what was wrong with me, and you made it easy.
I love that. That's so nice.
Really touching.
And what was it, like, Hannibal said something like, you'll always be ruled by your fascination with teeth, which is a weird thing to say, and is apparently what he said to Randall during their first therapy session ever, which seems very on brand. And right. Randall mentions, oh, that's what you said to me in that first therapy session. And Hannibal's like, oh, is that what I said? With this, like, big normal person smile. And I watched that scene twice before I decided that he's just pretending to have forgotten that.
Yeah, I'm sure he remembered that. But I also feel like this smile was kind of genuine. It was like, oh, I'm having so much fun in this conversation. I'm so proud of my protege.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know, just because, like, I feel like we never see him smile like that exactly.
That's
it felt
true.
Like a normal person smile in a way that seemed...
Right.
I don't know. But I do think that he's proud of Randall.
Yeah. I think I have like one or two episodes left in the first season of Killing Eve, and nice. I just noticed that the tone of voice that Hannibal says beautiful at Randall is exactly the same as Villanelle saying it to herself in the mirror.
Huh.
She's great.
That sounds great.
But Randall's, so when Will and Jack come to talk to Randall, like, the fact that he says, I'm proof that mental illness is treatable, is, like, extremely grim on a meta level yeah. in context.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong. It is. But he's not a good example of that.
He's not proof. But, like, the show has kind of done that before. I mean, Georgia Madsen's mom said... You know, like, she had the same kind of general hopelessness, which, like, yeah. I don't necessarily know that, like, Brian Fuller is trying to tell us that mental illness is not treatable and you should just give up. I think that's, like, things that are being pointed towards Will and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I appreciate that theme in a show. Maybe just, mm-hmm. I don't know, because I'm, like, you know, we're all kind of steeped in this... discourse on the internet, whether we want to be or not, about, like, representation in media. And I appreciate that this is not that it's not making any efforts to, like, have good takes on mental illness, because these are a bunch of, like, murderers and crazy people who have really bad takes on mental illness, but they also have bad takes on killing people. So, like,
right, like, this is not where you come for good takes. Yeah,
right,
totally. And then Margot shows up at Will's house. And not having read the books and, like, not having known who she was, I totally missed when she says, yeah. I have the wrong parts and the wrong proclivity for parts. I, like, did not understand the meaning of that the first time.
Oh, okay.
Also, this is where the gif of Will shrugging helplessly with a glass of whiskey in his hand comes from. Now nice. I just, like, recognize all of the standard gifs.
So... I think we do see him call Hannibal to his face. I only remember this because I was trying to figure it out for a fic once, and there was like this whole discussion in Discord. But I think the consensus was that it happens sometime in season 3.
Okay.
Which I feel mean, like
he
makes
definitely
sense.
Says it to other people.
He yeah.
To like use his first name to other people. But sometimes when he's like, I think he uses his title this episode, but like it kind of feels like he's making fun of him.
Oh yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I was just wondering what Will actually calls him this whole time. So he really says, "I tried to murder Dr. Lecter. That's my baggage."
I love
and
this
Margaret's
whole
just like, "Oh, cool."
I know. I love all their scenes together.
Yeah.
I love this scene a lot. And I just realized that Margot coming to his house and talking about her sessions with Hannibal is, like, what helps him figure out that Hannibal is doing this weird thing with all of his well, not all of his patients, but, you know, the murder-adjacent ones.
Yeah, I for some reason I didn't even, like, think about it that way, even though, like, the next scene is him being like, what would happen
right.
if your patients compared notes? But, yeah. She helped catch Randall, for sure. And then I love when Will asks, did you kill her? And Hannibal just says no, and he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because now they're being honest, so he can just ask that shit.
I love it.
And then we get to the church collapses.
Typhoid and swans. All come from
like
the same place.
It's like one of those lines from the book. There are so many like good lines, and I'm like, oh, those are lines from the books. But then when I
yeah.
try to read the books, I'm like, oh god, I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah, I think I've pretty much given up on the idea of reading the books.
Yeah.
Life's short. I'm good.
We get to see so much of Will's house at the end of this. And
so many
Will's
dogs.
Definitely. So many dogs. They're all such good dogs. I love his house.
And then Buster runs off after Randall.
I think Buster is a good dog. He's trying to protect his home.
Yeah, I have a note that's like, why is Buster the one poorly trained dog? Because they're not supposed to go running out of the house. You can train
that's
that
true.
Out of them. Don't do that, Buster.
But there's a fake cave bear in the woods. See, that's
true. It's true.
Will with a shotgun is a really good look.
It is. Will, like, holding an injured dog under his arm with a shotgun in the other hand is a very good look.
Yeah. I feel like this is a realistic portrayal of Randall's running capabilities in that Will has no problem making it back to the house with a dog in one hand and a shotgun in the other while being pursued by Randall, who is running on all fours.
Yes, I agree. Also, I didn't realize that we don't actually get to see him killing Randall until the next episode because I binged it so fast the first time I watched
okay.
it.
Yeah, because I think I, like, didn't quite remember that we eventually see him killing Randall, and I was like, yeah, that's what I remember, that, like, he just stands there, and then suddenly Randall is on Hannibal's table.
Mm.
But, okay, so we get to see it later.
Yeah, I think beginning of next episode.
Okay. Good. And then they're even.
Yep. I love that Will, like, isn't mad at Hannibal for, like, sending someone to kill him. He's just like...
Totally.
Yep.
And just, all, I don't know, the quietness of it and the, like, stillness of how Will is just waiting there with this dead body. And it's
yeah.
kind of like everything has been leading to this moment and that's all that's needed. I love
right.
it so much.
I love it. It's so good.
Well, that's that. There was Bedelia in the preview to this episode, so
mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful that she's going to come back. And what's next time? I don't even remember what happens after this.
That's a good question. I don't know. I know we see him killing Randall Tyr. Probably more Margot stuff. Maybe, I think next week is the
oh,
one
yeah.
where he sleeps with Margot. It maybe, because I know oh, that... Yeah. We're getting pretty far along in this season, so.
I feel like
yeah.
it didn't totally, like, dawn on me the first time that, like, this is real, but the more I think about the fact that they canonically cut up Randall Tyr together, I'm just like, what's happening?
Oh, there's a really good fic about that, actually, where Hannibal is, like, coaching Will through, like, how to cut up a person.
I'm sure there's lots, but do you know which one you're thinking of?
It would take a while. I can find it later. I have to go through my bookmarks. Okay.
I definitely want that right now.
It's one that was, like, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where you're like, that didn't happen in actual canon. Surely that must be a fan creation. But nope. That happened.
Definitely happened. And then they set him up in, like, the most bizarre museum tableau. But we can say that for next week.
Yes. Speaking of the books, I'm not reading the books, but I am reading this book called Mostly Dead Things by Kristen Arnett, which was, like, from this thread that I think Bees retweeted that was, like, this person being like, oh, if you guys say that you can't find good sapphic content anywhere, so here's a thread of books for you. Which, like, a lot of the books were... Okay, so I was, like looking for a book to read.
Yeah.
And I realized that a lot of the books that are, like, frequently wrecked in fandom are, like, sci-fi or fantasy, which, like, I like some of, but for some reason I just, like, had this realization that I was like, oh, that's not actually, like, the primary genre I'm, like, looking for books in. So there weren't all that many books in this thread that, like, were not YA sci-fi or fantasy, but this is one of them. And it's called Mostly Dead Things, and it's about a taxidermist, and there is a quote from, I don't know which book, but it's from Thomas Harris on, like, the title page that says, problem solving is hunting, it is a savage pleasure, and we are born to it. And I was like, oh, so that's what this book is about.
Nice.
But this entire episode with, like, the dead animal parts being repurposed, I was like, oh, I'm reading this book about taxidermy. And it, like, gets into a lot of detail about taxidermy.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I know you shared a little bit from that book, like a snippet, and it seemed really cool.
Yeah. It's about a taxidermist whose father kills himself in their workshop, so she has to take over the family taxidermy business. And then her mom starts making pornographic tableaus with all of the taxidermied animals, and then an art gallery director comes along and is like, I really like your mom's pornographic taxidermy tableaus and would like her to make some for my art gallery. And then the protagonist appears to be falling in love with the art gallery director.
Nice. So I think a while ago I was talking, maybe like 2 weeks ago, I was talking about reading The Devourers. It was like a book I was reading. So I stopped. It turns out I really don't like the book.
Cool.
I gave up. Like halfway through.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It like became clear that the central relationship was like this love story between like the protagonist and this woman that he rapes, who's like a total stranger and doesn't know him, and he's like obsessed with her, and I'm just like, not here for this.
Okay. Yeah. Don't need that if you don't want it. Which,
right.
Easy to not want that.
Which, like, it's not like I have a problem with, like, you know, rape in fiction, but it was definitely like, oh, I found this on like a list of like queer romance novels, and this is not that. This is super not that. So I just kind of like, no, thank you.
Cool. I approve of not reading books that you're not into.
Right. Life's too short to make it through books that you stopped giving a shit about.
Yeah.
But I have been rereading I Praise My Destroyer by Diane Ackerman. So it's like this book of poetry. And I don't know, I really like her nonfiction books, and her poetry is really great too. There's this one bit from it, there's this poem called We Die, and there's this bit that goes, we die despite work we cherish, marrying whom we love, piling up a star-spangled fortune, basking on the Riviera of fame, and achieving that human participle with no known object.
Oh, God.
I know, it's like super, like, oh God, oh no.
Great, thanks for reminding me.
Right, like, no, nothing's gonna save us, yay. But I've also been, like, reading all of Candle Beck's fics. So they're,
nice.
Yeah, I mean, they're a supernatural writer.
Okay.
but they wrote a bunch of, I know.
I feel like I reckon, have I read something by them?
See, I had that exact same, I thought they were also a Hannibal writer because that name sounded super familiar and I was like sure that I had read them before. And they did write a Sherlock fic, but they only wrote one, and it's not one that I recognize.
Huh. So I had just asked, have I read anything by them? You clearly have to know this information. Yeah.
No, that makes me feel better because I thought I was going crazy because I was like, no, I feel really sure that this is like a person whose work I really like, but I don't know what I would have read by them because it wasn't their supernatural fics.
Interesting.
But they've written like over 100 baseball, like real person fiction stuff. So I don't know like what I read by them.
What is the Sherlock fic?
Oh, let me see. It is Space Travel is the title. And then the summary is, I would literally cross light years for you if someone would only give me a spaceship.
Oh. I was about to ask if that was the one that, like, I don't think it is, but there's, like, some fic about, like, John Locke in space that, like, became famous because, like, Benedict Cumberbatch mentioned it in an interview or something, being like, I think in one we were, like, on a bed in space.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, oh, yeah, that was me, but I don't think that's this one.
No, I read this one to, like, see if I'd read it before, but it has nothing to do with space, actually.
Okay.
But, yeah, I've been, like, oh, God, all their fics are so good. I've been reading them, but they're all, like, really depressing. Like, they're all, like, nothing good really happens to anybody. They don't end well. But they're so good, and I had this, like, moment of realizing, like, oh, I think I like unhappy fics. Which probably surprised literally only me.
That seems so off-brand for you.
I know. Well, it's funny, because I thought, like, oh, I don't like to read unhappy things. I just like to write them. But somewhere around, like, realizing that I've read only things that end really terribly for the last, like, several months, I'm like, oh, no. I do like this. So, that's what I feel.
Self-knowledge is important. I did just read Damn Slippy Planet fic last night called The Pressure of Days.
Which I is love like, that one!
You know, yeah, I won't give away what's actually happening in this, but oh god.
I think I'm like trying to look it up because I think I know which one that is.
Yeah. Starts out with Will leaving a voicemail that just says, I know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That one is a lot.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm, like, almost through my, like, complete Amundere Hannibal read, which is kind of terrifying. That's a lot of words. I mean, a lot of words to read, even more to write, presumably. But
yeah, I was just thinking last night, because I know there's still a few that I haven't read by her. And I need to, like, I should get on that. Like, I know the Teenage Hannibal one I haven't read, but it sounds good.
Oh, that was very good and, like, incredibly sinister in the way that, like, I was worried it wouldn't be when I saw the premise, so.
Right. I think that's why I haven't read it, but then what you had to say about it sounded really interesting, so.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you writing anything? Are you writing that Space Dogs fic?
Yeah, I am. I, like, started writing the Space Dog fic and then immediately had, like, a freak out and was like, I don't know how to plot. So I, like, read a book about plotting. And now it's like, I don't know. I have made a plot. It will hopefully be executed according to the plot. I'm just like, wow, I've never done this before. Is this, like, a thing I can do? Like, post a whip with a plan and finish it?
Nice.
But yeah, Adam's learning to pole dance. Everything's going great.
Very important life skill.
Yes, and are you writing more supernatural fic?
I am. I'm doing this crossover between that and, like, Demon Hannibal and, like, Little Will. So I've been working on that, and then for some reason yesterday I was like, ah, yes, I should obviously stop this and do a whole other fic that's like Omegaverse and like underage and this weird bullshit. So I wrote that. Like, I don't even write Omegaverse. I'm just like, what am I doing right now?
You've written some Omegaverse before.
I've written some. I feel like I lean really far away from, like, the general tropes because I don't like them.
Yeah. Have I written Omegaverse? Oh, yes. I wrote one Sherlock story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever done it in Animal Fandom.
Oh, yeah, you did. I liked your Omegaverse. It was, like, Omegaverse, but also circuses.
That yeah, was it cool. was me. Okay, I think I had, like, planned out this whole, like, Sherlock story that was, like, a circus AU, and it was for NaNoWriMo, like, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then the night before, like, October 31st, I, like, read a random Omegaverse story, and I was like, now mine is gonna be Omegaverse, too.
Nice.
But it actually, like, worked really well as, like, a B-plot. Yeah. I turned it into kind of, like, a... You know, the way that, like, people who do sports intensely in their, like, youths have, like, delayed onset puberty. So I turned it into, like, a that kind of thing, but with Omegaverse.
Yeah, I think that works super well.
But yeah, it's not really a go-to.
Yeah.
Anything else that we should gossip about?
I don't know. Is that it? I feel like there's some, like, something that happened in fandom that... Well, I guess there's stuff we've been
more wank to feed us.
Right. I was going to say, I feel like there's stuff we've been talking about, but we probably shouldn't say it on a podcast, and I'll cut this out.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of that. I mean, people can know we have thoughts that we don't say out loud.
There's lots of us being, like, annoyed at shit and talking crap about
it. I think, yeah, just if anyone else is experiencing this, know that we're also experiencing maybe higher levels of annoyance at, like, shit on that happens on the internet than, like, average. Is that right. fair to say? Maybe not even fair. It's just, like, a thing.
We're all stuck inside, and yeah. The world is going to hell, and so... We're all getting annoyed at, like, dumb shit in fandom, which is objectively not that important, but somehow feels very annoying and very important when it's happening.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you want to come feed us some wank, you can do that. Can join Pod on Twitter, Curious Cat, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.